Yield to you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Good afternoon. I'd like to call today's meeting of the IAC to order. Today's meeting agenda was posted in accordance with Nevada Open Meeting Law. The meeting is being recorded and is being held via Zoom video conference. When public comments are taken, please start by stating your name and who you represent for the record. In the interest of time, I reserve the right to limit comments to 3 minutes per person and will respectfully interrupt if time is exceeded. If your comments have already been presented by someone else, please note that and do not repeat the information. I'd like to remind the IAC members that whenever you're speaking, always first identify yourself for the record. It's important that we correctly identify speakers and their corresponding comments. I will now call the meeting to order. Tracy, will you please take roll call?
Done.
Very efficient. Right on. Item number two, public comment. Is there any public comment?
I don't see any from the members, right. And I have nobody in the waiting room, so.
Item three, approval of the minutes from the June 3rd, 2024 meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the June 3rd meeting? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move we accept the minutes from the June 3rd meeting.
Mary?
Do I hear a second?
Wendy, give us a second.
Wendy.
Second. All right.
Excellent. Minutes are approved. On to item number four. Dr. Delpy will provide college updates. This item is for information only.
Okay, so thank you. I appreciate it. So the people online, if you could give me a thumbs up if my voice is loud enough for you to hear. Because I'm okay, perfect. All right. And then everyone in the room, I'm assuming you're good. If not, you'll throw something at me. I'm going to try to work this. It's been a while since I've actually done the Zoom and the meeting. So let me see if I can get the screen up so you guys can see it. I've lost my share button. There we go. Okay, Zoomers, you can see my screen?
Yep.
Is it the spring updates or is it pictures of my animals? No, it's okay. Good. All right. So I appreciate you guys joining us, and I wanted to basically give an overview. This is similar to what I'm going to be giving to the college on the 15th. I think it's dated as such on this slide, so that you know what's going on. I appreciate you being part of our Institutional Advisory Council. I know it's been a little bit of a hit-and-miss group, but I do appreciate the feedback that you provide. A lot of times, many of you I run into, and you do the feedback, give me some feedback on the side or after the fact when you think of it as you're driving home or something, and I appreciate that. So as we move into the new year, Happy New Year to everybody. I wanted to just kind of give you an overview of where we are. And so this will take a little bit, it'll take about maybe 10 minutes. If you have a question in the room, you just shout, or anyone just shout out, but make sure I hear you because I may not see you on the Zoom. And I apologize for some of you in the room because I can't move this box here. I think I can do that. Quick update. So in fall of 2024, which is the immediate past semester, we had 4,226 students. That actually has gone up a little bit. We're due a final accounting this month. But we have been, in the last 2 years, the highest enrollment that we've had at the college in more than 10 years, actually more than 12 years. So that's a big kudos to everyone who is helping get students in through our Access mission. And if you look at the stats on here, it's almost an even split, male to female in the middle. The average age has gone down, and the one reason for that is when I talk about 4,226 students right here in the top left corner, down here on the bottom right corner, 43% of those students are dual enrollment high school students. And that's great because it's access for high school students, and they are completing and finishing up their programs or even just their classes. But it's, to me, it's a little bit of a liability because if you simulate it or compare it to like a stock portfolio, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, and that's a lot in that one basket. If the high school population is diminished like they're projected to, and if something happens with funding for those students or just naturally people move out of the area, that number comes down, it could bring down a lot more than bring down our budget significantly. So we're watching over that, and I'll talk to you a little bit as we walk through it. And then one of the next agenda item five is about non-high school populations, and so that's the discussion I want to have today. But this is where we are. You can see all the stats. I'm happy to make this available to you down the road. A couple more stats. If you look in the top right corner, 29% of our students are full-time, which makes the remainder of them, the majority of them, part-time. That's a big consideration because full-time students tend to complete and work their way through their programs at a higher rate than part-time students. Part-time students tend to drop out, stop out, takes them a long time, whatever it is. And so we want to put more wraparound services around those part-time students. Right now at about 71%. That's actually changed a little bit sometimes. Most schools are like 80-20, but we've been about that 70-30 split. If you look in the middle, there's a number of degrees that we've, number of degrees and certificates that we've offered or that we've awarded last year. And then you can see enrollment by class location down the bottom. For those of you wondering, we do have, I'm gonna try to move a bar here so I can see what's going on. We do have classes all over. 40% of our instruction is online. That is not students, that is instruction. So a student may take one class online, one class in person. They may take everything online. Roughly, I think the last slide had about 30% are online only. We do have a number of students throughout the state. We do have three charter high schools that we work with in Clark County, which is why you see a 5% number there in Las Vegas. And one of the things that was kind of an eye opener was the Matter Academy graduation last May. When I always make a subtle kind of joke about high school, dual enrollment high school students graduating college before high school. They graduate from us and then 2 weeks later graduate from their high school. In the ceremony I was at Matter Academy, I awarded 16 students, underrepresented populations, low SES. I awarded 16 of them associate degrees in the same program where 50 minutes later they got their high school diploma. It was like we walked them across the stage twice. And it was pretty rewarding, and I didn't expect it to actually amount to that, but those students actually completed those programs, and that's a partnership with the Matter Academy. The other one in Vegas is Nevada Virtual and Odyssey, and they're all thrilled with the work we're doing. And for awareness of the group, we contract with their faculty members, their teachers who are qualified to teach the classes. We don't hire people down there or send our faculty back and forth, which is the case with most of our dual enrollment. So the other thing I wanted to just share with you, of course, we have a mission, we have a vision, we have a values. This is a document that will be updated in the coming year. I'm going to mention to you a couple times throughout this presentation that our accreditation visit, which is our 7-year accreditation, which means that, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, I got 3 slides on it, but the accreditation cycle is 7 years and it culminates with a year 7 visit. That will happen April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of this year. After that point, and kind of, you know, we'll start a little bit ahead of time, but after we get the feedback from the accreditation and we start the next 7-year cycle, we will start to work on a new strategic plan. In that new strategic plan, we will look at the mission, vision, and values to make sure they are still relevant. I can guarantee you, based on the population that I work with every day in higher education, that there will be some wordsmithing. So it will change a little bit, but it'll be focused on primarily the same things we do as a community college. So I want to talk about these items here. I'm just going to speak to these. Again, I can't see you guys online, but if you have any questions or if you're still awake, good, okay. I just popped your faces up, but just shout out if you have a question. We do have a new federal administration starting this month on the 20th. We're not sure what that brings. If you read the headlines, there's some fear in the air. There's some people are applauding, some people are worried. Wherever side you're on, we're here to work as we can to serve our current populations, and hopefully things like the disbanding of the Department of Education, if there is modifications there, it's not a complete destruction, and we can work through any changes from the federal government. We work with them every day, and the biggest thing that the U.S. Department of Education does for us is administer financial aid for our students, so we don't want to disrupt that. We've already had a big disruption last year with a slowdown on our application for federal financial aid, the FAFSA, so we want to keep students going one way or the other. So the new administration hits on the 20th. I've got these in kind of top-down order, but the state legislative session will start after that, but the governor will release his state of the state next week, I think it is, on the 15th. Is it already next week? I see heads nodding. Okay.
6 p.m.
There we go. We're already halfway through January. So the state of the state will happen on the 15th. We will hear at that point, maybe a few hours ahead of time, the governor's budget based on the projections for the state. In that budget, it'll talk about things that are relevant to us. Funding formula with 17% caseload growth. We want to get funding for those students to keep them going. We have a new funding formula, actually an adjustment to our current funding formula that will be pushed through legislation. We also have a number of capital improvement projects, including our Aspen building, that is on the State Public Works agenda. We hope it makes it into the budget. It is the number one ranked ENCHI project for the entire state, so all of higher ed. They do a voting, and we are at the top with a $1.5 million renovation of the cafeteria and culinary space at our Aspen building, which is across from Rotary Plaza. So next time you're on campus, I can show you the before. Hopefully we've got a story to talk about the after. So we will see what happens with the governor's budget, and then the legislative session kicks off February 3rd. I'm going to pause there real quick. Any questions? You guys good? I'm going to talk as fast as this year is going to go through the next semester anyway. So so hang in there. Appreciate it. Legislative session will kick off. We'll know what's going on a little bit. Staffing on our side, I mentioned this to all the groups. This is we just have trouble. It seems like as soon as we hire somebody, we have another vacancy. People are moving. It's kind of a worker's market, if you will. They can jump jobs, especially somebody in state service that works in Carson City. If they're an administrative assistant, 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever we've got nowadays, they can probably jump to a state agency down at the Capitol without having to change their commute time and upgrade their job. And I don't blame them for it, but it leaves us with this always have an attrition rate. And so we're working on that. As a small institution, it really hurts a little bit more than other institutions because we do not have a lot of people who fill in the blanks. We have benches of one, you know, we have one on the team. I think Coral, you've got everybody in this room probably got a search going somewhere or another. So something's going on. As soon as you fill it up, we all say, we're full. And then somebody else says, hey, I'm leaving. And, you know, we wish them the best, but it happens. All of you are probably struggling with employees, too. I'm going to go on to the next slides because I am going to talk about our initiatives. And then I want to talk a little bit about accreditation and the part that you guys would pay. So play. So I give these goals and strategies were first introduced to the campus in August of last year to talk about this current academic year. I may have brought some of it up to some of you in past meetings. They're very similar. The main pieces that we focus on every year, but in this year, this is how they're defined: access and success, student experience, infrastructure operations, and visibility. Those derived out of campus discussions, in particular with our enrollment management group. So it's not random. I do have a dartboard in my office, but that's not how I pick strategies. We actually think about it and talk about it. And as a community college, with 4-year degrees, we always talk about access and success and student experience. The infrastructure operations gets us there. The visibility helps keep us visible so that people don't say there's a college in Carson City, which I still hear all the time anyway. But when we break that down, the access and success component of what we decided we would work on this particular academic year, 24 to 25, we wanted to focus on the non-high school student enrollment. And the reason for that is I don't want to say we're not taking any more high school students, because that would be reducing access. But we have to balance that out and continue to look at how people that are non-high school students. Whether that's a high school student who just graduated, so as a recent grad, or it's somebody all the way on the other end of the spectrum that wants to take a class for fun. What does that mean? And the big piece of it is the people in between, the working adults. So it's all ages. And we set a goal for ourselves in fall of 25 to move from, you see the bullets on there, move from 2,540 to 2,600. And we said, how hard is it going to be to get 60 new people? Well, the problem is you get 60 new people, you probably lost 100 other people because they went to work got more scaled up, they have more hours on the job, they don't want to do school. And so we actually fell a little bit. That's what that red number is. It's 2,463 out of our total enrollment. So we are continuing to look at ways this spring to attract more working adults and get those dual enrollment students if they have not attained a degree from us, which is 60 credits. Which means they would either go to work or go off to the university. If they've only done 57 or if they've done 18 or whatever it may be, get them to come to us as a next step. And then we're looking at continuing to raise that up by fall of 2025. But this is a hard market to really get into. Working adults are doing just that. They're working, and their employers are strapped for employees, so they're working overtime, and there's not a lot of time left to come to school to finish out degrees or diplomas or certificates. So we're going to talk more about this in item 5, because I do want to open that one up for discussion. But I want to get you through the rest of this here. So the other thing is, I'm not going to go through all of this, but you can see it on the screen here. One of the things I mentioned was the full-time students and the part-time students. Our full-time students' persistence from fall to spring is higher for full-time students because they primarily do school. They're full-time. Part-time students, not so much. So our full-time student continuation rate, if that's what you would like to call it, is higher than the national average, and our part-time is lower than. So we want to focus on the part-time students and keep them going from fall to spring. Again, people who are in the workforce, attending a class, taking a class in the fall, they want to finish their degree. Their employer says, this spring I need you for extra hours. Guess who got the extra hours? It's not going to be the college. So they probably stop out and hope to come back to us in the fall. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Bottom right, I've got a few new programs. We're looking at a culinary program that's part of that Aspen remodel. It's just been as far along as a feasibility study. We're working on a Bachelor of Science of Nursing. We are going to expand our Fallon Nursing Program once we start drawing down and renovating our Pinion Building, thanks to a federal directed appropriation of $4.3 million. We are doing the same thing by creating a nursing cohort in our Douglas campus, another one federal appropriation for $4.3 million. Coral, those are both 4.3, right? I'm
trying to remember. No, 2.3.
Oh, sorry, the first one's 2.3.
Yep, yeah. And then 4.
So Fallon, thank you. Fallon is $2.3 million. To renovate an existing building. Douglas is $4.3 million to create the cohort and expand off our existing building. So it's an actual expansion. Student experience, again, we want students to have a good experience here. Experience is not just so they can have fun, although they're always having fun. This is a fun campus, but activities, DEI initiatives, all of that. But the main point here is that student experience helps students get excited about being here, and then they hopefully that bleeds into their classroom and it keeps them going with their studies. So we do have a come and go campus. We don't have dorms. We no longer have athletics. So it's one of those, we want students to come and go, but when they're here, we want them to have a good experience. That way they'll be successful in their academic program. A lot of that for us revolves around these items that are here, scheduling. There's a new program that we've launched on mental health initiatives. We have a series of activities, and the one thing that's going to hopefully come to fruition this spring, which you will all get invited to when we have an opening, is the LINC, which is our Community Career and Employer Center. It is our old bookstore space. It's one of the pieces of Aspen that we've remodeled with the fundraising and our own funds. And that'll be an area where students can go and get help with resume building, find apprenticeships, internships, employers can come set up a table, and that sort of thing. So we're excited about that. We've had a few bumps in the road with building, but it'll get done. I have full faith in that. Continuing on this one too, the going into infrastructure and operations category, again, high level. We are doing safety and security. It's always at the top of our list. We're going to put blue lights up in the parking lots, those emergency posts. We're doing a lot of training, regular training, and we're going to work on more of the keypad locks. Safety and security is one of those things that we have to do. We don't ever want to say it's not going to happen here. It's also another piece that's not funded, so it's just we have to make it work. We're doing some, I know Nikki's group has looked at some grant possibilities, as has the system. We're going to do the strategic planning I mentioned, which is reauthoring our strategic plan. Once the accreditation visit gives us some feedback, it's a 7-year plan. I inherited it. It was 2018 to 2025. We kept it the same because a lot of work has gone into it. I'm not one of those people to come in and say, I got to have my own plan, but this time I'm going to get my own plan because we got to redo it. So we will redo the strategic plan, and then the other planning documents, we'll start looking at facility staffing marketing plans just to support the overall strategic plan. The accreditation visit, which I'll get into a little bit more, is April 2 to 4. If you could mark it on your calendars, that'd be great. If they want to talk to community people, this is a good group to pull people from and say, hey, they want to talk to the college. We are also initiating on campus an artificial intelligence task force. This will help us guide policies and procedures for how AI is used. AI will be used. It's not one of those, are we going to do it or not? It's already I think it did this presentation for me. I'm just kidding. I might have done some of it. But it is, AI is here to stay. So how that works in the classroom, how that works outside the classroom, how we essentially make that work to our advantage is what that's about. We always look at our academic organization. We're going to be looking at some email changes. We're switching platforms. And then the biggest one of all, of course, which everyone's been asking for, is we are going to upgrade our bathrooms on this campus. So that is like the crowning moment, pun intended, of getting things done. So we have done a lot of renovations. I'm looking at Coral, who helps us run facilities, and Nikki, who helps raise money, and thinking about all the dollars we've spent for all the square footage for this campus that is definitely 50 plus years old, mm-hmm. and not in as good a shape as I am at this age. So thank you. And we'll continue to get things done. If you haven't been on campus, I think our next IAC, we need to definitely host something in person. So, yeah, then I had some visuals on the bathrooms, so it looks like good stuff. There you go, perfect. And so then again, a couple other things. We're doing trainings on campus, policy and procedures updates. That's more for the internal audiences. So the visibility piece, we're always looking for ways to keep the campus college visible. We have the session coming up. We will hopefully that bears in our favor. We are looking at ways that we can offer things for the community to engage in, whether that's non-credit or certain community education classes. We also have the robust community or the musical theater, the observatory, which is what's in the photo here, and then the art galleries on campus here. That's our kind of our outreach exposure. People come to campus to see those things. We also have the walking trails up back and all of that. So with that, I'm going to pause real quick. Online people, any comments or questions? Are you guys good? Okay, I'm going to keep going so we can just keep rolling through Kyle talk here. So let's. So I want to give you a quick overview of accreditation. We're not going to go through this. I'm not going to go through this word for word for sure, because I can probably recite it. But we are an accredited organization, accredited higher education institution. There are 7 regional accrediting agencies. We are part of the Northwest Commission, which handles a number of states, including Nevada, Idaho, California, Hawaii. I think they have Arizona. They're kind of segmented throughout the country. We must maintain this accreditation in order to be eligible for federal funds, which includes federal financial aid. And most jobs, if you post jobs, most jobs say must have a degree from an accredited higher education institution, and this is the accreditation that's behind it. What it is, if I think it's a little bit easier to understand in money terms, it's almost equivalent to having a major audit every 7 years on what we do as an institution from a number of components, which they call standards, which are down on the bottom of this slide. Do we have, there's all kinds of things embedded in the accreditation process, but when we talk about the standards, they outline what it is. Do you have a mission statement? Do you serve the community's needs? Do you have a sustainable budget? Do you have a board that pays attention? Do you have, all of that are questions that I've asked. I've been on a number of visits as an evaluator. I've been at a number of times, have been on this side of the table when the campus has been visited. And so it's an exercise in rounding up everything that we do. It's a way that we can say, we're hitting the mark here, we're not hitting the mark here. It's definitely not a place to cover up anything we're doing wrong. We want to put it out there and say we're struggling here, and the evaluators will oftentimes help us make sense of it, help us get through it. So I'm going to flip to the next slide because I think I've got. So the steps, there is a what we call the evaluation of institutional effectiveness. It's the EIE report. That is the self-study. We will send that off on or about February 1st of this year. Then the evaluators they get that, they read that. That tells our story. It'll be online, so everyone can look at it. There's nothing in there that's secret. But it is a formatted template that they give us on how to put this together. So it'll be a multi-page document. I've seen upwards of 60 to 80 pages worth of a document. The evaluation team, who are our peers from other states, it's nobody from this state. It would be, maybe there's one person from Idaho, there's one person from Oregon, there's one person from Washington State. There'll probably be a team of 3 or 4. They will get that report, they will read that report, then they will come to campus to validate that what we have said in that report is accurate. So that's the peer evaluation piece. That is the April 2 to 4 visit. And then once they do that, they will come in, they'll have a conference room to themselves, they'll meet with people, they'll meet with groups, they'll meet one-on-one, they'll talk to me, they want to meet with some external people, that's why I ask you to mark it on your calendar, we may call you. Then they will prepare a report. That report will give recommendations, commendations, areas of concern. They put it all together, and the commission, which is a group of commissioners that is kind of like the board of the NWCCU, will do a ruling. I have to go in July and sit in front of them while they tell me, we did your accreditation, and you did great in this, you did great in this, and here's where you need to improve, and here's where you need to improve. We take those improvement points, we blend them into our work we're doing for the start of the next round, and we're off to the races. That's a very simplified version, and from my perspective, as several others on the exec team and at the institution, it's quite a bit more stressed than that, but that's what it is. And having been through it on both sides, I can get a pretty good grasp for it. I do not expect we come out with flying colors. There are no flying colors on these visits. Everybody gets something that can be improved, and that's part of the process. I also don't expect we're going to get slammed with a whole lot of recommendations, but I know there's a few places that probably we're struggling, and as a small institution, it's to be expected. The days that they're actually here, there is a meeting on day one. Like an all-campus meeting, you are welcome to attend that, but I don't know if there's a need. I don't think it'll be Zoomed. It's just a meeting where the evaluators introduce themselves, they do introductions, and then they go off and do a schedule of meetings throughout the day. They do the meetings on Thursday. Friday, there's an exit meeting where they give us the preliminary findings. Wednesday morning is a one-hour all-kickoff meeting. Friday is a one-hour meeting. In between, there's a number of interviews. And so it's one of these things in higher ed we're used to. Again, it's like an audit of what we're doing.
Someone's in the waiting room.
Oh, Jim got locked out. Okay. It's one of those things where we know what we're getting into. We're going to run the playbook. It's scary, but I can't wait till it's over, because then we can start over again and do some good things. So with that, I'll throw in a quick a nod to Nikki and the foundation. Our external funding numbers are up. Nikki, I think you told me today it's a 20. Tell me again. Sorry, I wrote it down and then it's in the notes and I can't see it. The amount that we're up on the overall assets.
25%.
I was gonna say 24. Yeah, 25% up on our assets, which is good. Great work. We're doing a lot of work on. You can see the bar graph there. We're doing a lot of work with scholarships and such. We're getting people into the programs, which means if any of you have working adult people, the kids are already in the high school getting it, but if you have working adult people, there's probably a scholarship or some sort of financial aid that we can get them, even though they would not qualify for traditional federal financial aid or state aid because of being outside of the high school window. Okay, that's it for that presentation. I'm gonna stop the share so we can see all your happy faces. Everybody wake up, good. All right, look at that. Okay, so with that, are there any questions on the update of the college? I know I went through that extremely fast, but and Jim, I saw you there, and then I saw you get locked out and come back in, so if you missed it, I'm happy to come down, have a coffee, and give you a personal view. But Mary, did you have a question?
I could hear you and see what you're presenting. It's just my camera locked up, and then I reloaded, so...
Good. Perfect.
I have just one question, if I may.
Go ahead.
You have, when you talk about the high school kids and dual credit, are you picking up a lot more charter schools this year than what you had in the past? I know Carson High and, just the regular public, and of course charter schools public as well. Are you seeing a lot more charter schools taking advantage of the dual credit?
So we have not picked up any new clients. To say we've always had Odyssey. Nevada Virtual has been our first in Vegas. Nevada Virtual, Odyssey's the new one a year ago or 2 years ago, and Matter Academy, same thing, and then Oasis, and then Sierra Lutheran. I would put those all in that same bucket. So we haven't had any more knocking on the door, but those five have been asking for more classes. So every time we ramp up a class, they say, well, can you do Spanish, or can you do English? And so now we've got more students within those classes, within those schools.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
When you asked WDC, I have a question. You mentioned the potential budget for the Douglas Nursing. Is there a timeline for that?
So So we are in initial stages right now because that was it's a federal directed appropriation that we worked with our congressional offices to get. The money has been allocated to us. We have to go through the process of the drawdown, which means writing an equivalent of a grant application. I believe the spend down on that is through 2028. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Coral?
Yeah.
2028, we have to have it done. So we have not even the Fallon one, which is a year ahead of it, we haven't even started with solid, what I would call architectural designs yet. So it's a few years out.
Okay.
Yep.
On both spots. So that'll be
interesting. Yeah, and part of that too, Wendy, just so for the group, we do not have a robust student population at our Douglas campus. As a matter of fact, if we have a student down there, it's a rarity. Most of the students in Douglas County are taking classes in the high school, then they hop, skip, or jump somewhere else. And when we put up an English class or any kind of class at Douglas, it never makes. People drive to Carson or take it online. And so what we decided was we noticed at one point there was 12 students who were in our nursing program who were from Carson Valley. And we said if they could stay there and then they wouldn't have to drive, then we could open up 12 seats. And so it kind of turned into this spiral when all of a sudden we're almost increasing by 30% our total nursing in probably 5 to 10 years, which is good. And it serves those local populations. And then it uses that campus, which is underutilized.
Actually, correction, 2027 for
Douglas. 2027, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so 2027 for that grant. And I think the Fallon one's 2026 then, right? Mm-hmm. It's a year ahead of it.
Yep.
So that's only 2 years.
Yeah.
I know.
Now, shoot.
We have our meeting right after this.
Oh, yeah. We got to go to the meeting on how to do it. We don't expect any bumps in the road with the new federal administration on those two. There could be, we do have asks out for the next round, the year 4 of the directed appropriations, which we focused on our observatory. Those may or may not come to fruition under the Trump administration, we'll see. They're all embedded in the federal budget, so. Any other questions? Anybody in the room, you guys? So that's what I've got for the updates. If I may, Mr. Chair, if I could jump into item 5 on the agenda.
Please.
So item 5, I wanted to talk about the non-high school population enrollment. The reason for that is we have, I always find it interesting when we say things like we got to get 60 more students and then we reach our goal, and then you think with 4,000 students now we could find 60 more students, and it's not that easy because it's not about 60. We found 60 students, but we probably lost some more on the other side. So what we're trying to do, the question, and I think the questions are in here, but I'm trying to figure out new ways to attract and new markets to look at to help people who are non-high school students come to us for their higher education. And that's kind of the question for the floor. I know we got a lot more in the agenda because I think we've got some things in here, but we talked about it a little bit last time too, but any new perspectives on that or anything you guys would be appreciated. And I'll leave it at that. I don't know how we work the agenda. Am I ahead or am I good now? I know we talked about it last time and we all have ideas. You guys got to have something. And again, if you think about it after, you're welcome to connect with me. But I'm just finding that industry has been so absorbent of people that they don't want to lose people from the floor to come take classes. And they put people on overtime and the people love the money. And therefore, next thing you know, 3 years goes by and we could have had somebody through a degree pathway. I'm going to stop talking. I feel like in one of those classes where I gave a prompt and nobody wants to respond. Your grades are riding on this.
This is Carrie. Are you seeing any from the industry with any push for more certifications? Like you're talking about, you know, people on the floor. Are you seeing that the industries are coming in to Trick and Fernley and other areas that those industries, those businesses are pushing to get their employees here for additional certifications, or has that not really been a source?
It's been a mix. I mean, we spend a lot of time with Tesla. We have a lot of Tesla students who come here and do the classes. But the other ones are not. It's hit or miss. We're trying to get out. Nikki runs the CDL program. That's pretty robust for trucking. We're into the Fernley market. It's one of our areas. We're looking at what we can do there. There's some businesses, but it's a tough conversation to have, and you get some people who come in all on fire and say, this is one of the problems is, hey, I need two people. You know, and it's like, okay, well, we don't have a program for two people. If I can get 10 businesses that need two people, that would be a program. Okay. But most of the programs are the same. They're just the same certificates that we're already offering, and you slant on it. So it's really, I think, I mean, I don't want to simplify it, but it's a, kind of a nature of just a reduced workforce. It's just less people, which then means they're probably working more hours, which means there's no time for anything else. We need yeah, go ahead, Jim.
And the only thought that I have is 2,000 about 2/3 full. We expect to be all the way full by the next semester. So we're trying to make it an easier transition because there's less out of pocket. Right now, the majority of the people are paying their own way, but we're charging about 60% of the going rate. So they're able to save quite a bit of money moving out of what they were in into the luxury apartments. We expect that that'll continue to influence people that they never thought they'd be able to have the time or the money to be able to attend the, you know, the non-high school folks who were trying to focus on.
So Jim, you're almost full. You said you'd be full by the fall?
I expect we'll be full for January.
Oh, right now. Okay. Have we sent anybody down? Like, we talked one time about having advisors come there rather than the students come up here just to kind of navigate what they need. Have we done any of that? Okay, so I'll put that on my list. How many do you have? I forgot how many people are filling up your space.
I think we've got 20 of the 36, 20, 22, something like that of the 36 units.
And how many in each unit?
So for the most part, it's one student in each unit, but they might have a spouse or children with them. So we expect when we're full, we'll have about 100 people on campus, with, from infant to grandma.
Gotcha. Okay, well, we'll look into that because that's a market that's sitting there. We could actually bring some instruction down there. Anything else? What else? Anything else?
Are you engaged or is ClickBond engaged with you at all?
Machining's been one of those programs that's been really low in enrollment. And again, I think it's more on the job training going on.
So they don't actually need the certifications for the machine.
Or they have
as much,
yeah.
Or they have it.
The small manufacturing are the ones who are trying to really get people in, but there's just no recruiting. There's no people in the pipeline. So. Well, I'll stop there. If you guys think of anything, you want to chat more on it, let me know. If you see an event that makes sense for us to be at, let me know. Mary, I assume I'll see you at the legislature, right, along with the rest of you, a lot of you. So when the business talk comes up, we can kind of maybe share some stories, because for us, it's, you know, we can go a couple of years, well, maybe with the dual enrollment, but it's not, we don't want to become a high school, you know, and we are here to serve the community, and the balance is out a little bit. Some schools across the country are 50% or more dual enrollment, which, I mean, it naturally happens, but it's a liability to have that many in one place.
Is there anything to learn from other schools and other regions that have a more balanced mix?
So the two schools in our state that have what I would not, I don't know what's an appropriate level, but there's in Washoe County, TMCC has a high school, a Washoe County high school on their campus. In Clark County, CSN has a CSN high school on their campus, and they can take upwards of 200 students, and that's students who go there as their high school. And the college, because I ran one of them when I was at the Edison campus, the college has to provide a certain number of rooms, and then they kind of venture out on campus into different classes throughout the day. We can't do that in the rural world because the high schools don't have enough population. If we opened up a high school, we'd pull so many from Carson that they wouldn't be able to, you know, it'd be like a competition for a few people. So our model being out in the high schools is what naturally has scaled it up, because once you go into all the high schools, the difference is now is that the two schools in the urban areas deal with one school district. We deal with 9 school districts, 6 in our traditional service area. We have a school, actually we partner with a school, I think we partner with Eureka High School still. And then Clark, so we have Clark County, Mineral County, all the six, you know, all the six that we normally do. We have one in Washoe that we do, because our model is to go into the schools, because for two reasons, you get more than you ask for, but this is the background on it. The rural high schools don't always have a teacher, very rarely have a teacher who can teach AP classes. So there's no college pathway unless it's the dual enrollment. So once we show up with dual enrollment, we teach the dual enrollment at the high school, then all of a sudden it's easier to scale up because we're at their facility. So that's how we've grown so much. But if we had it on campus only, even if it was Carson and Fallon, it might balance it out a little bit, but then we draw too much from the district. So it's kind of a good, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have.
Right.
And Douglas is one of those where, I mean, the automotive classes alone are 100 students. And that's, you know, classes that they were going to cut if they couldn't find an instructor because their instructor retired, and so we put the instructor there. So that helped everybody. Yeah, that's what we should be doing. Those are the partnerships we should be doing. Okay. And what's interesting is the car dealers here ask me where they can recruit people from. They want to, I said, you should go down to the high school because they've got more. So they do that. They go down and recruit the dual enrollment students from the high school, and because there's a lot of them there. So it's not the worst thing in the world to be there. It just makes me feel like we don't want to become 50%+. That's the biggest thing. And we slowed it down a little bit. So.
Have we been able to do any more with the correctional institute? I know that we're still doing some kind of auto body training there. I don't know if for a while they were closed down because of COVID, and they helped them all that sustained.
Yeah, so Jim, we are doing auto classes in the prison. So not the collision repair, but the actual auto classes, automotive. The tricky part there is, they gotta be within the range of parole in order to get out and work. And so we've got, there's a pipeline there, but it's not a large one. It's maybe six students if we're lucky in a cohort out there. We have brought the advanced manufacturing lab out there and taught 8 students out there that are in the minimum security prison. We roll our mobile lab out there and teach them, and they come out, but again, small numbers, but it adds to the mix. We're good. Yeah, we'll move on to the next one.
So we'll move on to agenda item number 6, remarks from Chair Richardson. This item is for information only. Not too many remarks other than it would be nice to get that accreditation behind everybody. Excited for 25, and just let us know what we can do to help.
Appreciate it.
Item number 7, remarks from WNC IAC members. This item is for information only. Are there any remarks from their members?
Nothing, nobody? Everybody's quiet? Okay.
All right, seeing done, we'll move on to agenda item number 8. New business is for information only. Do we have any new business to discuss?
Leave that to the members. Anything we missed that you want to hear at the next meeting or drill down on a little bit? No, Mary's on.
I hope in the next meeting, we can update everybody about legislature and MG and how all that went and is going. I don't know exactly the dates for the next meeting. Hey, I just want to make one other comment, if I may. I think Nikki Glasses has done a fabulous job with the foundation.
Thank you, Mary.
You look at, looking at your chart and what she's done, good for her.
Thank you.
Nikki, you need to actually lean into the camera. We can't see you.
Thank you, Mary. Lean into the owl.
Yeah. The who?
The owl. Actually, while we have, while I have your attention, I want to mention that we're doing a documentary premiere on Friday at the Brewery Arts Center, and we have Dr. Rebecca Bevins is being featured in a
Nikki, maybe you can have your group shoot the invite out to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pull it off the invite, yeah.
I think it went out on the email today.
Did it?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Any other new business items? All right, we'll go to number 9, public comment. Is there any public comment? So, all right.
Is that it?
We'll go to the last item and adjourn the meeting. Meeting is adjourned.
I appreciate it, everybody. Thank you for being with us today.
And do we know when the next meeting is scheduled?
No.
Not yet.
We have not picked a date, but I'd like to do something definitely before the end of the semester. So.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.